All right. Praise God. And good to see you this evening for discipleship class number 33. Wow, 33 of 36. And so we are excited. If you were disappointed when the first timer counted down and it started over, amen, we had quite a few folks coming in at the last minute. And so we decided to give them an opportunity to get settled in. Get their coffee fixed up just right and how they like it and all that other stuff. And so, but I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad you're watching online. Glad you're here in the room. And as we said last week, given the importance and power of our words and the effect that they have upon our lives, this represents an area in our life where we can see a lot of change and a lot of results from that change rather quickly. And so because of that, I'm excited that you're here and are going to continue this study with us. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, your kindness, your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your compassion, your patience. Father, you've been so patient with us. You've been so merciful, Lord, Father, towards us. And we thank you for your patience, and we thank you, Father, that you have been with us and for us. Long before we understood anything about you or turned in your direction. And so thank you for that. Thank you that your Holy Spirit's here with us tonight. And he is our teacher. We submit to him. We yield to him. We ask that he speak to us and that we have ears to hear what he is saying and eyes to see it and understand it clearly. And we thank you, Father, for renewed minds and transformed lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Praise God. All right, so let me get some things adjusted here on the screen. And tonight we're going to go into still talking about image and likeness. And we started with the power of words last week. I really wanted to try to get that all into one class. It's just too much. It's really too much for three classes, but we're not going to extend it beyond the first portion of this evening's class. But it's, again, we talk about practical things that make a difference in our lives. And we talk about basic life understanding. In other words, how God created us and designed us to work and to function. And if we don't understand that, it doesn't mean, let me give you an example, okay? Your words have power and influence over your life, whether you understand that or not. Don't mean to be offensive to someone right out the gate, whether you believe it or not. I mean, it's just, again, they have a lot of effect and influence on our lives, and so it's very important that we understand that. I'm not going to try to review a lot about what we talked about last week, but just to kind of set the stage. We said because we are created in the image and likeness of God, we have the ability to think, reason, form opinions. We have the ability to agree or obviously disagree. We have the ability to believe, experience and express emotions, and then we have the ability to speak. And we, of course, have all of these because we were created in the image and likeness of God. Image and likeness means that we look the way God looks and that we function the way he functions. We pointed out how Jesus got so many things done while he was on this earth as a man, setting an example for us to learn from and follow. He got so many things done by simply speaking words. Amen. And so, again, the Bible has a lot to say about it, First Testament and New Testament. And we're not going to try to exhaust everything the Bible has to say about it. But on last week, we ended here, Mark chapter 11. And I call this the greatest faith lesson ever taught, okay? And I say that because Jesus is doing the teaching, and it's an object lesson, and it really zeroes in on what faith is. Now, I know we talked about faith when we talked about our ability to believe a few weeks ago, but remember, all of these things, our ability to think, agree, believe, form opinions, speak, express and experience emotions, all these things work together, compounding upon multiplying the effectiveness of one another, okay? So words are one thing. Words with emotion are another, right? Think about like passionate words. Dr. Martin Luther King and others who have you know, just with such passion and, you know, words that have brought forth change and these kinds of things. And so wouldn't be the same as somebody just taking his speech and reading it monotone, right? So it's, and again, there was a lot behind that passion and the emotion when he delivered that was a lot of lived experience, a lot of things that he believed, so forth and so on. Amen. And of course, a lot quoting from the Bible. So in Mark chapter 11, it says, "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" So if you remember, Jesus and his disciples walked past this fig tree the day before. Jesus went to it to see if it had figs on it. No figs. And so Jesus spoke to the tree. Okay. Can you speak to a tree? Yes. Okay. Can you speak? Jesus spoke to a lot of things. How about this one? Jesus spoke to Peter's mother-in-law's fever. Can you speak to a fever? Well, yeah, you know. may sound really strange to you, but he spoke to that fever. You remember the centurion that came to Jesus and he said, "You don't have to go to my house, just speak the word only and my servant will be healed." Because, and Jesus was like, "Wow, what's going on here?" And the guy said this, he said, "I am a man of authority and I am a man under authority." Meaning what? He's under authority. He has authority, but he's under authority. And he said, and he went on to explain to Jesus, he said, "I say to this one, go, and he goes, to this one, come, and he comes." So notice now, this man had witnessed Jesus speaking to demons and sickness and storms and fever, amen, the way he would speak to a soldier and say, you know, get 20 men and go here and do this. So he recognized that authority in Jesus. He recognized that Jesus was under authority, was a man of authority, and in the same way that he as a centurion would speak and send soldiers out to do things, Jesus did the same, but on a different level in spiritual things. Are you following me? Okay. And now, anybody remember what Jesus said about that man's faith? Said it was, he hadn't seen faith so great, not in the whole house of Israel. In other words, his faith impressed Jesus. So again, do you see the connection here between words and faith and speaking words? And so that man says, "Jesus, you don't have to come to my house." Remember now, think about that for a moment. Jesus is saying, "I will come to your house." It's like, well, you know, better be safe than sorry. Just let him come on. You know, no, it's like, you don't have to do that. All you got to do is speak the word. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. Amen. Well, again, a lot of people miss out on the value of this in their own lives, because they say something like this, and no doubt some of you probably had the thought, well, I'm sitting here talking, okay? Yeah, but that was Jesus. It's like, yeah, but that was Jesus. So, you know, because, you know, Jesus, he did these things. But remember, everything Jesus did, he did as an example for us to learn from and follow. You know, Jesus never began a miracle by saying, "Okay, boys, don't try this at home." Right. You know, matter of fact, we even see that there were, at least when it comes to weather and Jesus speaking to weather and food, multiplying food, the Gospels record two distinctly separate, different occasions. And we see that Jesus demonstrated it the first time. The next time he's asleep, right? And he's like, "Where's your faith? You know what? You know, do you not understand the feeding of the multitudes?" And so remember, he told him, he says, "You feed them." He's like, and again, I'm putting this together here, but he's like, "I've already showed you how to do this." Okay. And what did Jesus do? He took the little boy's lunch. He blessed it, right? He spoke over it, right? And then he distributed it. So I know, listen, this is stretching some of you. Some of you are like, "Man, get on to something we can relate to, Pastor Mark, because this is way over my head." But see, again, that's the devil trying to steal from you and lie to you and convince you that this is not for you, or it's not for everybody. All right. So Jesus, he speaks to the fig tree and just walks away. The next day, it was what dried up from the root. Okay. So when Jesus spoke to that tree, it didn't appear, at least initially, that anything happened. It wasn't until later that the effect of his words on the tree were revealed. He cursed it at its root, and once the root was dead, the tree had no choice but to die also. All right? Now, let's keep going here. So when they're amazed by this, let me put the verse back up for those watching online. So when they're amazed by what they're seeing, Jesus answered to them, are you impressed now? No, that's what he said. He said, have faith in God. A literal translation of this would be have the God kind of faith. Now, we could, again, talk about faith. Faith is another, faith and words, the Bible's got a lot to say about both of those subjects. And when we talk about faith now, we're not just talking about like, you know, I'm of the Methodist faith, or I'm of the Pentecostal faith, or I'm of the Catholic faith. No, we're talking about the living substance of faith that God's dealt to every person and how we can learn to use it as a tool. Are you following me? There's layers to all this, okay? But we see that Jesus demonstrated how to use faith as a tool to bring results into people's lives. So he says, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you. Now, King James Version uses assured. A lot of times we see verily, verily, anybody? Verily, verily, I say unto you. Okay, well, what does that mean? So when Jesus says assuredly, and even times he says most assuredly, what is he doing? Why is he saying that? He's saying that because what is about to come out of his mouth is going to be shocking. What he's about to say is going to be so profound and so amazing that if we're not careful, it'll just sail clean over our heads. It'll go in one ear and out the other like he never said it, okay? So it's almost like, if I could use this example, it's almost like Jesus is saying, okay, brace yourselves, okay? Pay very close attention. Give me your undivided attention to brace yourself, because what I'm about to say is going to seem so far-fetched that there's no way it could be true, but I'm telling you, it's every bit true. Okay, so for assuredly I say to you, whoever says, so do you see right here, that eliminates this argument, but that was Jesus. Because Jesus demonstrated it, but now he's like, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. So he didn't, he didn't walk it back. He didn't say, okay, I spoke to the fig tree. Why don't you guys start with some petunias or some amoebas, you know, lesser life. No, he went like to the mountain, right? You speak to the mountain and tell it to be moved into the sea. All right? Now, don't get so caught up in the mountain aspect of it, but think in terms of obstacles, things blocking your path, okay? Maybe nobody in this room, but maybe you know somebody who has a mountain of debt, a mountain of legal issues, a mountain of past due bills, a mountain of family issues. And in other words, things that, watch this, a mountain that's blocking you from ever getting a driver's license again. It's like, you know, I've worked with people over the years, they're like, Pastor Mark, you know, I mean, I might could get them before I'm too old to drive, you know. So again, in other words, what seems like an insurmountable problem blocking you from progress, mountain, right? And Jesus said what? Speak to it. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, okay? So you got to believe. Remember, how do we walk this Christian life out? You walk it out the way you began with it, right? How do we begin? Believing in the heart, speak with the mouth. Believe with the heart, speak with the mouth. Believe with the heart, speak with the mouth, right? So now Jesus, notice he's saying, you got problems, you got issues. Find out what I said about it. Believe it in your heart. Speak it out of your mouth. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Okay? Now, watch this. You might want to write this down. I don't have a slide on it, but it's okay. God says that you can have what you say. But most of his people won't stop saying what they have. Say it again, okay? God says you can have what you say. You can have what you say. Most of his people won't stop saying what they have. Okay, you got it? You got it? Say it again. God says you can have what you say. Most of his people will not stop saying what they have. Okay. In other words, instead of saying to the mountain, be removed, oh, look at this mountain. It's the biggest mountain I've ever seen. I don't know of anybody that's ever had more back child support to pay than I do. You just keep saying what you have. You keep speaking the problem. Are you following me? But God says you can have what you say. You can change the problem by speaking words, faith-filled words to that problem. Are you picking this up? Okay, all right. Let's keep going. One more time. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Do you see how many times he uses the word say or says in this passage? Now listen to me, please. Okay, listen to me. I don't want to say defensive, maybe is not the right word. It's not like defensive, like I don't want you to miss out on this. Okay? And I am well aware that probably most people in this room were not raised in a church that taught this. Those in the room that were raised in church, okay? And sadly, I run across more people who were taught against this than were taught the truth about this doctrine, this teaching, okay? And again, that's the enemy. See, religion tells you, you know, you got to wallow in it. You got to get a pick and start climbing or digging or, you know, you follow what I'm saying? Jesus didn't say climb the mountain. He didn't say you made this bed, you made your bed and they lay in it. That's what the world says. That's what religion says, right? Well, you had that coming. You should have known better. You did know better. You just do anything about it. See, all these excuses. And now it's like, oh, so you're saying all you got to do is speak to it? Well, that's what Jesus did. I mean, obviously you got to believe in your heart. Okay, now let me keep going here. Verse 24. Therefore, I say to you. So therefore means in light of what I just told you. Okay? Therefore, Jesus still speaking, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, pay very close attention to every word he's using right here. Whatever things you ask when you pray, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen. Okay? Amen. Now, I want to show you this verse in a few different translations. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. I know this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay? Faith doesn't say, I'll believe it when I see it. Faith doesn't say, I'll believe it when I receive it. Faith says, I believe I have already received it before I actually hold it in my hands. Are you following me? And so when do we believe that we've received it? You believe you've received it when you pray. Let me show you another, a couple more, okay? Same verse, just different translation. Here's the God's Word translation. That's why I tell you to have faith that you've already received whatever you pray for. Have faith that you've already received whatever you pray for, and it will be yours. New Living Translation. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, you've is the conjunction, right? You have received, contraction, I'm sorry. You have received, contraction. Anyway, y'all know what I'm saying. If you believe you have received it, it will be yours. Pay close attention to the words and to the tenses of the words, okay? I got a few more, a couple more. The Passion Translation. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. All right, let's keep going. Last one, from this one. Holman Christian Standard Bible. Therefore, I tell you, all things you pray and ask for, believe that you have received them, and you will have them. And you will have them. All right, sometimes I go kind of lengthy on this. I'll try to make it brief. But this is one of the ways that I try to explain to people this verse. And so there's some poison ivy on the chain link fence in the backyard. All right? And so I go and get the Roundup. And I spray the poison ivy on the fence in the backyard. And if you've ever used Roundup, you know that it makes like this glossy coating on whatever you spray it on, which makes the plant actually appear healthier. Are you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, we just went from like, you know, weeds in the backyard to a potential centerpiece, you know, for a banquet table or something. All right. Okay. But I spray the Roundup on the poison ivy. I go put the poison ivy in the shed. I go in the house and my wife says, what you been up to? Would I be lying if I told her I just killed the poison ivy on the back fence?
No.
I just killed it. Okay. Does it look dead? No. It actually looks more alive than it did before I applied a substance called Roundup to it. But I believe, from lived experience, by the way, that if you apply that chemical correctly, that poison ivy is as good as dead.
Right.
Now watch this. The next day when I go out to examine the poison ivy, I am expecting it to start to turn yellow. I'm not going to see if it worked. I'm going to see, do you see the mindset here? It's kind of like if there's an expectation. I know this is the year of expectancy at the Foundry. It's like when you're expecting a check in the mailbox and you skip to the mailbox expecting to find the check in there. You're not looking to see if it's not in there. You're looking to see if it is in there.
Right.
Are you following me? There's a difference between looking to see if it is and looking to see if it's not.
Right.
Are you following me? So I don't go out in the backyard and going, well, you know, I'm not sure if that Roundup worked or not. Let me go see. No, I know it did. So if I look at it, I'm just looking to see the effect that I know. All right, so what if I go out there and it looks more alive than it did the day before? Oh, man. Dud at round. No. In other words, I know that I've already received the result, even though my physical eyes aren't seeing that result yet. Are you understand what I'm saying here? Okay. So faith is like spiritual Roundup, so to speak. In other words, it's a substance that you release. You release faith. How do you release faith? You release faith by words. Okay. So when Jesus spoke to that fig tree, he released the God kind of faith to that tree by the words that he spoke. And his words killed that tree the minute he spoke to it. But like Roundup, amen, it didn't look like anything happened.
Right.
Are you following me? Okay. Let me give you another practical example on this. And I'm not trying to be judgmental, and I'm certainly not trying to offend anybody, all right? But a lot of times as a pastor, somebody will say something like this to me, okay? hey, you know, I'm going to the doctor. Believe with me for a good report. Okay. Now, I understand that because, in other words, we're wanting to see some results from whatever treatment or test or what have you. Okay. Hear me. Don't shut me down. Just hear me. Okay. There's a subtle problem with that, though. All right. And that subtle problem is, are we waiting until we get the report to decide whether or not we're going to believe God? Right. Are you following me? Okay. Because what if we get the report from the doctor and the poison ivy is still green? Right. Are you either thinking or you're getting quiet on me, okay? In other words, if we wait until we get the report to believe, that's not what Jesus told us to do. He didn't say if you pray and believe when you get the report. He said, believe you've already received. Amen. And if you believe you've already received, you will have, meaning there could potentially be some time in between believing you've received and actually seeing the results. Does that make sense now? There might be some time. Now, that's why we just go back then to checking to see if the poison ivy is dead. There's a lot of people, let's say your hip's hurting, and the Bible says by stripes we were healed. And so we pray and we release our faith for healing for your hip, okay? And then people start, like, every day they like, no, see, it's still hurting. They're not checking to see if it's better. They're checking to see if it's still hurting. Again, it could go either way. Are you following what I'm saying? It's what are we expecting? What are we expecting? Amen. Yes, no, maybe. Amen. Yes, no, maybe. All right. So this is where the devil robs a lot of people. It's because we pray and we believe God. And I'm talking to folks right now in this room online. You've had situations and issues in your life, man, where you know the Lord heard you. You know that the people you prayed with, you know, feelings aren't everything, but there are such things as feelings, and you felt in your heart, you know, you just believe everything's done right. And then, you know, 3 days later, it doesn't seem like anything's changed. And you're like, well, you know, it must not have worked. You know, again, that's the devil. That's why the Bible says, believe it or not, listen, the Bible says that it's not faith that you need, it's endurance. Yeah. Right. It's patience. Absolutely. Right? To be able to stay the course. Yep. Okay? All right. Now, let me give you one more verse. This is Matthew chapter 17. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So again, Jesus, in case people misunderstood him the first time, he is establishing this truth and reality for us. Now, so we've been talking a lot about growth here at Heritage Christian Center on Sundays. And here's another indicator of growth. Growth is when you stop telling God what your problem said and you start telling your problem what God said. Amen. Do you see the difference there, right? Yes. In other words, Jesus taught us to speak directly to the problem. Jesus did not say, God, Father, would you please do something about this fig tree? No, he spoke directly to it himself. Amen? So when we stop telling God what our problem said and start telling your problem what God said. In other words, speak the answer to the problem. Speak the answer to the problem. Now, again, this is maybe very different and strange for a lot of people, okay? And it's like, that don't make no sense to me, Pastor Mark. Well, okay, then why does speaking about the problem make sense? You know what I'm saying? In other words, we will say to the problem, matter of fact, if you think about it, problems in our lives tend to ask us questions. You ever had a bill talk to you? What you going to do about me? How you going to pay me? Where are you going to get the money to fix this, right? Now, if we're not careful, watch this now. When we pray about that, we'll just simply, God, how am I going to pay that bill? Where am I going to get the... In other words, we'll just say to God whatever our problem's saying to us. Are you following me?
Amen.
What should we be saying? We should be saying things like, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory.
Amen.
Amen. That's the answer, right? That, well, we could go on there. All right, let's keep going. All right, so listen very carefully. Maybe you've memorized this verse or heard it before, but I want you to hear it again for the first time. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? So he's talking about all these different obstacles, spiritual situations, physical situations, financial situations, maybe health situations, health-related situations, relationship-related situations, right? All these different issues and problems and challenges that we may be facing in life. And so he begins by saying, okay, what shall we say to these things? Now, I'm not speaking out of both sides of my mouth what I'm about to say, okay, what I'm about to tell you. Jesus, in setting an example for us, obviously did more than speak in some situations. Okay? So we've got to be led by the Spirit. But our initial response to practically everything in our lives is words. Our initial response doesn't mean our only response. Doesn't mean that's all that we do, okay? But it usually always starts with, when it comes from the inside to the outside of us, it's usually words, first thing that comes out, right? Okay, is words. We say something about it. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Okay, are you following me? I don't think there's ever been silent road rage. That's not to say that, you know, and there's... Before people ever run one another off the road or even shoot at one another, right? They're hollering and screaming in the car when the other person in the other car can't even hear them. All right. So what shall we say to these things? What you say about what you're facing in life is critically important. And this one right here, man, if you don't know anything else to say, this is a good place to start right here. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, if you notice, there's a question. Why is it the form of a question? Because, again, problems tend to ask us questions, right? And he's going to go on to say, if he spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not now with him freely give us all things? Okay? So, deliberately, intentionally saying things, amen? Notice, again, think, thoughts, come on now. Thoughts, agreements, opinions, beliefs, emotions. Amen? The emotions are real even if the information's false. Anybody remember that class? Okay. Well, let me tell you what information is always true. God's Word. God's Word. So, if you should ever receive some bad news again in your life, are you following me? Pay very close attention to what comes out of your mouth first. What shall we say to these things? Okay? And again, there could be more specific, direct things that God has already provided for you to speak. But this one right here, if God's for me, who can be against me? I love what the angel of the Lord said to Abraham and Sarah when the angel of the Lord comes and says, hey, you guys are going to have a baby. And they're like laughing about it, right? And the angel looked at him and he says this. He says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? It's a question. No, it's a question, right? Okay, that's another good one right there. Man, some judge tells you whatever, you know, it's like, what you going to do about that? How are you going to fix that? Hey, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Notice what you just did. You just released faith. Faith's the victory that overcomes the world and everything that's in it. Are you following what I'm saying? Words, 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 words. Now, praise God. Oh, sweet Jesus. Anybody remember this class? I know some of you weren't even here for this class, okay? But this is what God said in Isaiah 51 and 16. He says, God speaking, and I have put my words, his words, in your mouth. God's words, your mouth. God's words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. His words in your mouth. He's covered you with the shadow of his hand so that he may plant the heavens. God may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. Again, there's almost a whole class on that. I'm going to try that one verse. I'm not going to try to go into that. But I just want to tie that back together. God putting his words in your mouth so that he can plant the heavens, so that he can lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, you are my people. Now, let's get to some practical stuff. James chapter 3. Turn with me there, please. James chapter 3, verse 2. Amen. Let me look you in the eyeballs for a minute, okay? Some of you are facing some very serious things in your life, okay? And you need to strategically get before the Lord and ask him what he would have you to start saying to those mountains. Amen. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Okay? And listen, I'm not by any means discounting your ability to hear from the Lord, okay? But I will be more than happy if you want to just get with me at some point. Amen. I know after this class it's a little hard because I got to get in the sanctuary. But I will make time to get your spiritual, I know some people don't like guns, but ammunition. Amen. Things that would be from the Word of God, specifically related to your situation. Maybe you're here and you want a good spouse. Well, guess what? The Bible's got some things for you to start confessing about the right spouse. Are you following me? Okay. Financial things. Now, again, prospering financially involves more than just speaking to your finances. At some point, we got to get some seed in the ground. But if the bathtub's overflowing, let's start by turning off the water. Are you following me? And a lot of people don't realize it, but they've gotten themselves in such a financial hole that dominates the negative things that they're always saying. I'll never be debt free. Quit saying that. Quit saying that. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? If he spared not his only son, but delivered him up for... I shared the story of my friend Audrey. 14 felonies. 14 felonies. And they can't even find them with her fingerprints now. Are you following me? And there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. Now notice in her situation, her first situation was fear. Her first situation, her first response was fear. Her first response was, I can't do that job. They're going to find out about me. They're going to fire me. Right? But then notice 21 days of prayer and fasting, and the Lord gave her something to say. What did he give her to say? Anybody remember? I'm going to make it like it never happened. That's what God told her. Well, now you get that coming out of your mouth. God said he's going to make it like it never happened. I imagine her hands might have been trembling a little bit when she was, doing the fingerprints or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But again, God said. See, the devil will jump on you and stuff like that. It's like, man, you know, them wild oats. What's that? The chickens coming home to roost, the wild oats or watch this now. Watch this now. I've seen so many people come out of a life of addiction and all sort of stuff. And then when they have troubled children, they say, like, look at it and say even that it's their punishment. Don't ever confuse your cross to bear with the cross Jesus bore for you. But see, again, people start saying, so, well, that's just my cross to bear. You know, I fried my brain and pickled my liver. It's just my cross. No, it's not. But you keep speaking that over your life. Are you following me? Memory of the righteous is blessed. Crazed in the wits, that's part of the curse. And we've been set free from the curse.
Amen.
Look, can I just get real plain with you? And I know some people roll their eyes when I say this. If you're going to roll your eyes, just do it when I'm not looking or do it later, okay? But why, think about this for a minute. Why is death in our mouths so much? My feet are killing me. Really? Really? How about this one? That cake's to die for. Oh, really? Are you? Man, she tickled me to death. Oh, Pastor Mark, you just being too. No. Listen to me again. Why would we see death and life's in the power of the tongue? The devil wants death coming out of your mouth, even if it's in jest. But remember, we give account. That's not what I meant. You give account for every idle word. Answer for every idle word. See, again, remember I told you that these things have to do with what you are. And the devil's trying to take advantage of ignorance on our part and use what we are against us. And if our words really do have the power that the Bible says they have, it's to the devil's advantage for us to be ignorant and lazy and lax and undisciplined about what we say about ourselves and others. All that negative self-talk, berating and belittling and yourself. And again, stop it. Say what God says about you. And in case you don't know, it's a good place to start right here. Praise God. Amen. But again, we fall into the devil's trap, right? Again, if you have an aversion to firearms, and I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable, okay? But a lot of people are shooting themselves in their own foot with their words. Can't figure out why they can't get ahead, because all they can talk about in life is how they can't get ahead. Yeah. All right, James had some really important things to say about this. He says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he, she is a perfect man, perfect woman." Again, perfect here means complete, well-rounded, mature. "Able also to bridle the whole body." Let's talk right there here for a minute, okay? Again, I know for some of you this is like, I'm almost speaking another language right now. It's like, what in the world is he talking about? I'm telling you what the Bible says. Tell me what the Bible says. He's literally saying that if we can control what we say, we can control our entire body. Now, that's very important for every human being, but especially for human beings that have let their flesh and the desires of their flesh get the best of them. Are you following me? I'm trying to be gentle here. Okay. And so we think, well, let me say it another way. It's like, what do you need to do to have more self-control? What do you need to do to not be dominated by fleshly desires? What do you need to do to not be dominated by negative emotions? What do you need? And, you know, I would dare say a lot of people would make, you know, a 14-item list, and changing what they say wouldn't even have ever crossed their mind. Are you what I'm saying?
Well, you know, we need to clean out the fridge. We need to get all that sugar and donuts out the cabinets. And say, well, yeah, all that's good if you're trying to lose some weight, get to be tempted, all that stuff. But would you ever think that what you say out of your mouth could help you control physical appetites? Yet that's what he's saying right here. Okay? If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body.
your whole self, your whole being. Okay? Now, he's going to expound on this even more. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. So if you're not, I'm not much of an actor, but I try to act it out for you. Okay, so a bit is that part that goes in the mouth of the horse. Okay. And, of course, the reins are attached to either side of that. And when the rider on the horse puts a little tug on the rein, it puts pressure on the inside of that horse's mouth, which is a bit painful for the horse. It causes the horse to turn its head in that direction, and it turns the horse. Okay? Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also, he's going to give us another example, at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. All right, so let's talk about this for a minute. Imagine a big boat, okay? On the bottom back part of the boat, there's a rudder underneath the boat, very small compared to the size of the ship, right? That rudder is connected to controls. The captain, the pilot, King James Version says governor, when he turns the wheel of the ship, it turns that little tiny rudder, and that little tiny rudder begins to apply pressure. See, as long as that rudder's slipping through the water, you know, very little resistance. But when we turn the rudder, now it starts to plow through the water. And if that captain will hold that wheel in that position, eventually that entire ship will turn. Now, why are we talking about horses and boats? Verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. All right? So now he's going to give us a third example. And this would be words as sparks or as kindling. You ever built a fire in the woods or built a fire in a fireplace, right? It's hard to take a big old log and set it on fire. So you got to get something little and small compared to the big log. But if you can get that little thing burning, that flame will eventually spread and become set on fire bigger things. Yes? So again, something small that results in and produces a big result. All right? So, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles. I was going to say defies, but it's not what it says. It says defiles. Let me get some water. I'm tickling myself a bit. Tickling me to life. Praise God. Amen. We don't ever say that, do we? That cake is to live for. Not to die for. Some of y'all still think about that. All right, praise God. Instead of speaking death to your feet, speak life to them.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay, here's what. And since you brought that back up, I wasn't going
to
say anything.
Okay.
Okay, so if you have pain in your feet that is so strong, like contraction and beating, you know, 100 miles a minute, is it better that I say nothing because I'm used to being quiet and being in pain? I know how to be quiet and hold it in. Or to say that, oh my God, my feet are killing me. Because at the intensity of the pain, something God is not going to come out of my mouth.
Okay, so I was reminded that people watching online can't hear when people in the room talk. So sister said, since I brought it back up, she's evidently dealing with some pain in her feet. And I'm trying to summarize real quickly what she said. Would it be better for her to say nothing? And so the answer to that is 100%. Again, if the bathtub's overflowing with water, we got to get the water turned off. In other words, whatever's causing it to overflow, we got to get it turned off, right? We got to stop at that first. So that would be the equivalent of, you know, screwing our mouth shut, right? And our mamas and grandmamas taught us this, right? If you can't say something good, don't say anything at all, right? Okay. Now, that's... I'm trying to decide whether I need to go through this. So we've come back. I was at a crossroads a minute ago. Now I'm back at that same crossroads, all right? If so much of what we do in terms of prayer in the body of Christ, our own lives, other people, is in response to some attack from the enemy, okay? So, you know, somebody's having surgery, would you pray for them? You know, somebody's had an accident, would you pray for them? Somebody's, you know, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that, but if we only pray in response to a problem or an issue or a pain or a challenge, then that means the devil is determining when we pray and what we pray about, okay? And so much of that then is defensive. Now, we need to assume a defensive posture. And one of the ways to defend yourself is, okay, if what we say affects what we're experiencing, then we need to stop saying negative things, right? Okay. But then we also need to become proactive, or we could say go on the offense. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So not saying anything is much better than speaking negative things and death, right? Okay. But where the horse starts to turn, come on now, where the boat starts to turn, come on now, where the feet start to change, right, is when we start speaking life. So watch this, and I know you don't mind, okay, but I'm not trying to make this all about you because it's about any situation in our lives, okay? All right, but the thing that the bit in the horse's mouth and the rudder on the bottom of the boat, okay, both of those are compared to our tongue. In other words, the words that we speak. Man, James, thank God for James. Somebody just stop for a minute and say, God, thank you for James and for what you revealed to the body of Christ through this man. Okay. So remember, James, half-brother of Jesus, same mother, obviously conceived by Joseph. James was conceived by Joseph. Jesus conceived by the Holy Ghost. So half-brothers, grew up in the house with Jesus, did not believe Jesus was the Son of God until after his resurrection. Watched him die, then saw him alive again. But he obviously benefited from growing up in a house with Jesus. And so now he has a perspective on things that we thank God for. It certainly dovetails with the other things in the scriptures, but James says things in a way that nobody else says them, right, by design, by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, so he's using the bit and the rudder. Notice that both of these small things compared to big things, little bit, big horse, little rudder, big ship, okay? They both alter the course or the direction of the horse and the ship, even though very small in comparison, right? And they both do it by applying pressure. Pressure on the inside of the horse's mouth, it causes the horse to turn. If the rider of the horse pulls on the rein and the horse begins to turn, he lets off the rein, the horse stops turning. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously modern ships are different than what they had in these days. You ever seen the old captains where you see them sometimes on the wall in a seafood restaurant or something? They had these like handles up on them, because what would happen is the pilot, the captain of the ship, he would turn that rudder, but if he let off of it, the pressure on the rudder would line the rudder right back up, and the wheel would just go right back to the position that it was in before he turned it. So they would have to turn it and hold it. And many times they would turn it, and those handles, they would tie a rope around, because they get tired of sitting there holding it, right? They would tie a rope around it to hold that rudder in that position until the ship assumed a new position, and then they would realign the rudder, right, with the new course. Are you seeing this? Again, we talk a lot about this. I'm not just trying to educate you about riding horses. Some of you probably know more about riding horses than I ever know about it, okay? But why are we talking about this? It's because James says if we can understand this, we can understand how our tongue, the words that we speak, right, can change things and change the course of things in our lives. Let me say it another way, okay? You know, Pastor Mark, I came to your class, I got all fired up about that, you know, and I tried to speak. I said some things to my feet for, you know, a few days, and it didn't work. I tried that, and it didn't work. Okay, I'm not saying that's what you say, sister, okay, but again, all right. If all due respect, anybody who says that, watch this now. If it's anything that God established, you didn't try it, it tried you. You didn't work. Now, that's strong. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, okay? All right. Because this is the Word of God now. This isn't something that, you know, it's like, you know, some kind of late night infomercial. If you send me $49.95, I'll send you the DVDs and you can watch it. No. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. All right. And again, although we've covered now almost two classes on this subject, and I thought we would do half of one class, okay? And we're still, we ain't even got to speaking in tongues and what that's all about, but that's amen. Just take a deep breath and relax. Don't get too worked up about that, okay? So the idea is that you don't just speak to it once. You got to renew your mind. You got to keep applying pressure to the problem. All right. Now, interestingly enough, I had issue with my left foot. Podiatrist, all these things. My kids were very little. My son was into Star Wars, little kid, you know, little boy in those days. And they gave me a big old boot thing to wear, you know. And I told him it was my Darth Vader starter kit, you know. And I remember climbing the stairs up there to preach on Sunday morning, and having to climb the stairs like this, you know what I'm saying? And listen, doctors were very nice, very helpful, but they said, look, there's nothing we can do to fix this. I mean, we don't think surgery would fix these bones in your feet. You know, you're going to have to wear this boot and then some kind of device, some kind of special shoe, you know, basically for the rest of my life is what they told me. Okay. All right, now, I got a choice to make. I'm either going to accept that, okay, or I'm going to use what the Bible has given me, okay. So you start praying about it, you start talking to the Lord about it, trying to get some direction about it. Have other people pray. That's what the Bible says. Do that. Have other people lay hands on me. Pray for me. But still, believing I received and not believing cause of pains and stuff, right? But notice now, I'm applying pressure. I'm not just letting it push me in the direction that it's trying to take me. And I'm certainly not agreeing with it by saying my feet are killing me. See, that's agreement. And there's emotions behind that. There's frustration behind that. And we're in pain, and nobody likes pain, right? So, all right, okay. So I was coming out of a time of prayer in the sanctuary, and this is, all these Bible verses I know, it's hard to put this into, it's not hard to put into words, but it's hard. It's one of those, like, anybody try to tell you a funny story, and you go, you just had to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you tell them that story. It was like the funniest thing you ever heard, and you tell somebody later, and they're like, that you thought that was funny. It's kind of like, you know, it's because you had to be there, right? It's one of those I was there moments, and it's hard to convey, because when you hear me say it, it's like, okay, all right, whatever, you know. But no, for me it was where it all changed, right? The Lord reminded me that he's you know, what did I say about your foot? Well, he said, by his stripes I was healed. Past tense, not will be. Notice that's back to this, believe you have received when you pray, okay? And so if you pray and you believe you're going to be healed, you ain't believed you're healed yet, okay? Are y'all with me? Okay. So the Bible says by his stripes you were healed. So if I was healed, then I am healed. All right. You follow me? I'm just talking to the Lord about this, kind of working through it in my heart and mind. Okay. When was I healed? I was healed when he took the stripes on his back for me to be healed. Amen. So I'm not believing in something that I need him to do in the future. I'm believing based on what he has already done for me in the past, what he's already given for to me in the past. Are you following me? See, again, we keep thinking, well, one of these days my feet are going to be better. One of these days my knee's going to be better. One of these days my throat's going to be better, what have you. Okay, well, amen. That's called expectation. That's hope. Amen. Hope is a good thing, but hope is based upon faith. Faith provides the basis for a confident expectation of something different or better in the future. I'm about to preach myself happy up in here. So listen to me now. This is what happened to me on that particular afternoon. Okay? I know it just kind of boiled down. It's, you know, again, if you will engage with the Word of God, if you'll engage with the Holy Spirit and ask them to help you and to show you, and that's where I was in all this, okay? Because this has been going on for some time. And it wasn't getting any better. If anything, it was getting worse. And so this is how the Lord showed it to me in my heart, okay? If I said your foot is healed and your foot says it's not, somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. If God says my foot's healed and my foot says it's not healed, either my foot's lying to me or God's lying to me. And God doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. And that was the, I talk a lot about that tipping point, right? That was where it tipped for me. And I don't know, I should have wrote it down on a calendar. My foot still hurt me for a few days, but it got better and better and better. And I've never had a problem with it. And that was, well, my son's married with kids now. This one, he was a little kid, probably 6-7 years old. All right, it's been 20-something years ago. All right. So, again, some people hear this and, you know, it's like, okay, well, just, you know, say these three things and all your problems will go away. It's engaging with the Word of God. And you can't speak life to it for 2 days and then death to it. Are you, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the equivalent of letting off the bridle or letting, you got to keep bearing down on it. You got to keep applying the pressure with the Word of God. Believe that you've already received. Amen. Believe that you've already received. Well, my foot's still hurting. Well, the poison ivy looked alive too, but it's not. I've put faith on this and faith is working, amen, 24/7 to produce these results in my life. Amen? Are you following me? Amen. All right. So, again, that's a long answer to a short question, sister. But speak to them. Speak to them. And I'll tell you one of my favorite. I should know the exact reference. But this is one of my favorite. And this, I spoke this to my feet. How beautiful are the feet of them? Come on now. Who bring good news of good things, right? So you got beautiful feet, sister. You got blessed feet. Amen. God gave you those feet to carry his good news to people all around you in your life. Amen, right? Okay, and so listen, it's easy, especially if we deal with something for a long time. It's lived experience with pain and lived experience with chronic issues and conditions and so forth and so on. It's very easy to get frustrated. It's very easy to just accept it and not try to push back against it or anything like that. I'm a very similar situation. I don't know if y'all have ever noticed this big scar on my throat, but the devil tried to take my voice out. I had a large tumor on my thyroid. And I'd went for a chest x-ray because the doctor thought I had pneumonia. I did not have pneumonia, but they called me later that evening. They said, hey, you got something going on in your throat, man. You need to go see somebody like tomorrow. This looks bad. And so, man, if you're not careful, the devil will have you planning your own funeral before you even go see anybody about what's going on, right? So I went to see ear, nose, and throat doctor, Randy Real. How many of you know him? spirit-filled brother, amazing doctor. And he looked at it and he says, that needs to come out sooner rather than later. And I said, well, let me pray about it. And I asked the Lord, and I was talking to my mother about this the other day, you know, as a pastor, man of God, faith, man, all stuff, believe in healing, preach healing, see people healed, all stuff, you know. It was pride for me. It was very hard to accept. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, should I just believe you or should I have the surgery? I'm clear as a bell, like surgery soon, like immediately, okay. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you know. So, you know, I was wanting him to tell me no, because who wants to have surgery, right? You know, especially on your throat. Tell me I was going to be out of the pulpit for 3 weeks and all this other stuff, you know. And but from the time that he diagnosed it, it went from the size of a golf ball to bigger than a baseball. And it was literally would have taken, trying to take my voice away. So removed it, removed almost all of my thyroid, okay. Still got the voice, thank God, all right. Well, then they tell me I'm going to be on thyroid medication the rest of my life. All right? Now, listen, hear me out, please. You don't just, Pastor Mark, quit taking his medicine. I'm going to quit taking mine. No, right? No, you, right? So you say, you thank God for doctors. Right? Saved our lives. They're called to do what they do. Okay? And thank God for levothyroxine, synthetic thyroid hormone. Amen. And so I started taking it, but I didn't stop believing. I didn't stop speaking. I didn't, are you following what I'm saying? And I did that for a while. I started talking to the Lord. I said, well, Lord, look, you know, let's talk about this and all this stuff. And so again, at the Lord's direction and taking a step of faith, I guess maybe 17 years ago, I quit taking thyroid medication. All right, and then every test that I would always get him to check my thyroid. She's like, "Well, I thought you were healed. Thought you believed. Well, if I'm healed, I can believe God that it'll show up in a blood test, right?" And every time they'd check my blood, you know, yeah, your thyroid's fine, okay. Taking your medicine, okay? I went, I'm taking the medicine, the word, amen. Randy would have understood. Dr. Real understood. I told him what I was doing, and he's like, "Well, okay, let me." I didn't tell the endocrinologist because she was not nice. Let's just say that, okay? Amen, at all. All right. I'm not proud of this, but it's been a lot of years since I've been to a doctor. And I hadn't had a checkup or anything. Don't even, people, who's your primary? Am I primary care doctor retired? And, you know, I just use that as an excuse to not go. Who likes to go anyway, right? Well, about 4 weeks ago, you know, I just felt led the Lord that I needed to go get a primary care doctor. And you know, I'm almost 60 years old now, and so I asked him. I said, "Well, you know, I want you to check my thyroid and all that stuff, because you know he sees scar and stuff. You know, you taking levothyroxine?" "No, sir, I'm not taking it." "Really?" I said, "No." He said, "But I said it's what the Lord's done for me. But you check it, right?" "Well, my thyroid levels are fine." So again, I'm telling you that to encourage you. Are you see what I'm saying? People talk about healing all the time, but you know they never hear stories of people actually being healed by God, okay? And I've been healed by Him in many different things in my life, okay? And those are two big ones. So, you know, it's a fight. Yep. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. You know, we think of faith as like some platitude, something you put in a greeting card, and have faith, brother, you know, that kind of thing. No, it's a roll up your dukes and fight. Amen. And the devil is trying to win. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, spiritual warfare. Oh, yeah. And he knows that if he can get our thoughts, opinions, agreement, beliefs, emotions and words aligned with Him and what He's trying to do in our lives, we are going to be a sitting duck for anything He wants to try to pull on us. Amen or oh me? Are you following me?
Amen.
See, this is why, and I'm not trying to make anybody mad or offend you or anything like that, but I believe 12-step recovery comes out of the Word of God. I have no problem whatsoever with any of the 12 steps. You know, even to the point, I believe God showed the man, make amends unless it's going to turn somebody else's life upside down. You know, all of that. Bible verses for it, okay? And although I understand why they want you to introduce yourself as an addict or as an alcoholic, okay? Because they believe that if you ever lose sight of the fact that that's what you've done in the past, you're liable to go back to it. It's the first step towards going back to it, okay? But that's my biggest hiccup. I mean, all that higher power goes without saying, okay? But, you know, I believe, amen, that we should say what God says about us. And he says that we're free. And so that's my biggest hang up, is sitting around a room and confess multiple times a week that I'm an alcoholic. That doesn't mean denying that we've struggled with alcohol. Are you following me? If you've read my book carefully, I don't refer to people who struggle with addiction as addicts. The devil wants us to be identified by our struggles. It's not who we are. It's something we've done, but it's not who we are, right? And but again, agreeing. Notice every time you say that, you're agreeing. If you disagree, well, we can go to heaven together and be friends and all that stuff. But that's a problem, right? Amen. Because of this principle right here. Well, never say never. Well, that's the devil. See, the devil doesn't want you to ever say. The devil's the one who doesn't want you to draw the line in the sand. Now, I believe in saying stuff like this. With God's help, I will never. Are you following me? Don't get all boastful. I'll never do that again. Well, no, you might do it again, right? But with the Lord's help, I've taken my last OxyContin. With the Lord's help, alcohol will never enter my mouth again. See, again, do you think that offends God for you to say that? No, it offends the devil. If words are weapons. Some of you weren't here for these classes, okay? But the Bible says the Word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. If it's a word sword, you swing it by speaking. I don't have my hard copy of my Bible up here, but you don't just take the Bible and like, no. How do you run the devil through with the sword of the Spirit? By speaking the Word of God. The last thing in the world the devil wants to have come out of your mouth is what God says about your situation. For you to say that you're healed. For you to say that you're free. For you to say that you're a child of God. For you to say that you're in right standing with God. For you to say that you have the same fellowship with God. For you to say that he gave you purpose and grace in Christ Jesus before time began. For you to say one word that's on this page right here. The devil will fight you and fight you and fight you. Again, I said it and I'm not trying to be funny. We're talking about speaking blessings over our houses, our cars, our children, all sorts of stuff. You know, it's like we think that's such an odd thing, but we have no problem cursing them when they don't crank on a Tuesday morning or whatever. That's no big deal. But see, that's reaction. You're reacting to a problem. And now death's coming out of you. Stupid piece of junk. Roll you off a strip pit if I had ability to get... See, again, what's that helping? My brother taught me something. Matthew taught me something a long time ago. He said, if you ever have a car problem, first thing you need to do is stop and thank God for every time that car served you well. Yeah, absolutely. First thing you need to do, if your car don't crank on a Monday morning, you need to thank God for every Monday morning that it's ever cranked for you. Amen. See the difference there? Because the devil will use stuff like a dead battery to ruin your whole month. If you let him. Are you following me?
I have a little big thing in my car. Crank
crank it right up. Just bust that thing right off. Just fire it right up. Amen. Yeah, and thank God. Are you following me? Yes, loud and clear. Yeah, I mean, I don't to be like my sister over here and try to just zero in on your particular situations. Let's just talk generally speaking, right? People are going to say and do what they're going to say and do, right? We have to, and that's part of the battle, right? Is the pressure that's being applied from those around us to try to get us to think and respond the way everybody else on planet Earth thinks and responds. And, you know, that's why when the Bible talks about where two agree on Earth concerning any one thing, you know, we tend to think that's like a no big deal, but sometimes it's a challenge to find somebody who really does agree with you. And Andrew Womack, you know, he needed many millions of dollars to finish building his Bible college. And he called Jesse Duplantis. He said, look, he said, I know that you have believed God for millions of dollars. And I'll agree with Andrew for millions of dollars, but you know what I'm saying? I haven't operated yet in that level of kingdom finance. So notice he found somebody who's been there, done that, to agree with him. Like precious faiths, like-minded. You know, agreement's more than just, you agree with me, yeah, I agree with you. You know, it's like, okay, what are we agreeing on? What are we saying? What are you saying about this? And I'll start saying it too, you know. So that's powerful. The other thing is that other people around you, faith is more powerful than the light's greater than darkness, right? You know, in other words, I'm not trying to say the people around you are in darkness, but in other words, the idea is if, well, let's go to salvation. Every person listening to me right now that's been born again, and I imagine that's all of you, okay? The devil tried everything he could to keep you from calling on the name of the Lord and being saved. But when you decided that was what you were going to do, he couldn't stop you. Okay? But now the chances are pretty good later that evening or the next day, or especially a few days later when you let something slip you shouldn't have said or whatever, he just jumps on you and he starts lying to you. Nothing happened. You're not saved. You just got caught up in the moment. You're not like those other people, right? Yep, right? He couldn't stop you, but he's going to try now to talk you out of, going any further. Let's don't get too carried away with this stuff, you know, blah, 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 right? Same as with healing, you know, especially if you're in pain. And you pray and believe and speak to it, and your neck's still hurting. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, that didn't work, you know. Somebody pass me the Advil, you know. It's kind of, you know, I mean, and you can take it. Just because you take Advil doesn't mean you don't believe God. You know what I'm saying? But that's part of the fight. I mean, but again, remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You're not fighting the people around you. You're fighting their lack of understanding. And, you know, so what I would suggest, especially if it's people in like your own family or really close friends or whatever, it's like, hey, look, you know, this is really important to me. I've been learning a lot about this. Matter of fact, if you'd like to take the class yourself, here it is for free. But I need you to either get on board with me or at least not continue to try to undermine, you know, what I'm doing and believing here. And, faith doesn't fear reality. That's not the right way of saying it. Sometimes faith will get up in the middle of a situation like a bulldog. You know, we sometimes, again, we think of faith as stuff for greeting cards and that sort of thing. No, faith is a warrior. It'll walk up in a fiery furnace with the men who threw you in there, you know, dropping dead around you. You know, amen. So that's why the devil tries so hard to get us to speak words, align our lives. Because ultimately, when he says it sets on fire, y'all, I've been preaching for so many years, and you would think by now that I could look at a set of notes and have some idea of how much I can cover. I'm wasting time just sitting here about, you know, if you had any idea how far I thought we would get tonight and how little of what, anyway, I'm sorry, but. Well, no, don't blame, that ain't been 5 minutes of this, all right. Can I just for a minute, and I'll pray about it, but the thing that I'm most excited about is explaining the new birth to you, okay? And so what is man? The final answer is man is a three-dimensional being, which we've covered, so we shouldn't have to spend a lot of time explaining that. We will go over it, okay? But you have to understand spirit, soul, and body in order to understand salvation. Because it wasn't your body that was saved. It wasn't your soul that was born again. It was your spirit. Okay. And that's a literal transaction. Right. So I'm putting too much pressure on myself to try to get there. Okay. Because we've got 34, 35, 36. We've got three classes for that. But anyway, the part I want you to see, and we'll end it here. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude. And I think that's supposed to be similitude. That's the way they say it on the Bible app, but praise God. Made similar to, right, in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Okay. So he talks about setting on fire the course of nature. What he's literally saying here is that the words that come out of your mouth determine the course that your life follows. He uses the bit in the mouth of the horse. He uses the rudder underneath the ship, because we see that both of these two things, you look at that big old horse, you look at that little bit, and you think, what could that thing do, right? You look at that little rudder and that big old ship, and you think, what could that thing do? Well, those little things, used correctly, determine the course that that horse and that ship follow. Amen. And this is what he's trying to help you and me understand, is that the words that come out of our mouth determine the course that our lives follow. And you can never change the course, the direction of your life without changing the bit or the rudder that's determining that course, that's charting that course. Okay? Now, there's another very important aspect to this, though, because remember, God created us to live from the inside to the outside. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in you in abundance is what's going to come out of your mouth. Dr. Bill Winston said it this way. If you squeeze a bottle of ketchup, ketchup's coming out. Okay? So what comes out of you and me when life squeezes us? Are you seeing what I'm saying? A lot of people hear this and they think, well, okay, I'll just say some better things. Well, that's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. But where we really need to begin is at the thought level, the agreement level, the belief level. And again, thoughts are what determine our emotions. Emotions are what influence our choices. Our first action on anything is verbal, right? So we were talking about this on Sunday morning. It's one thing when you get angry to bite your tongue and not say something you shouldn't say. And that's important, okay? But where God wants to bring us in our growth and development is that we don't have to bite our tongues. That judgment and cursing and criticism and negativity is not what comes out of us when we're squeezed. But life and peace and blessing and forgiveness and mercy and faith and hope and love, that these are the things that come out of us. Are you following me? In other words, I talk about this deliberate intentional act where we're being proactive, you know, instead of just saying whatever comes to our mind in the moment. And I think that's a lot of what we say, oh man, my feet are killing me. We're not really thinking about it, right? Feet are hurting and we just exaggerate. I mean, they may be hurting you really bad. They're not killing you. This is going to be a dumb thing to say, but I mean, if it got to the point where your foot was actually a threat to your life, they would remove it. Okay? We don't want that to happen either. Okay? So notice now, but again, even then when we say these kinds of things, it's not just that we're agreeing with what the devil's trying to facilitate in our lives, is that we're actually exaggerating it. Jesus did just the opposite. I mean, he's got a girl graveyard dead. He says she's asleep. He minimized it. He didn't. Right? And everybody's like, sleeper, he's an idiot, he don't know, she's dead. Jesus said, well, if you get out of here, I'll wake her up. You see what I'm talking about, right? So the devil is the one who wants us to make a lot bigger deal and exaggerate, magnify the problem, speak the problem, talk the problem, when we should instead be magnifying the answer and glorifying God. Instead of making the problem big, make our answer big. And again, heart, mind with words, worship. Are you getting anything out of this? Is this making sense to you? Okay. All right. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for this time together this evening. We thank you for your love. We thank you for answers, Father. And Lord, I know again, this group, Lord, as well as any group I've ever tried to teach these things to, have been receptive. Lord, eager to learn. And Father, I believe eager to apply these things to their lives. And we thank you for good things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.